Alaskans, wherever you are, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, coming to you from somewhere in Alaska. This is the place where we talk about, you guessed it, Alaska, where we keep the mainstream media on their toes, and where we are standing up for what's right in a world run by leftists. You can find out more by heading over to mustreadalaska.com, and also checking out the Must Read Alaska YouTube channel for some really great content. But first, let's get this party started.
Welcome, everybody, to the Must Read Alaska Show. I'm your host, John Quick, coming to you live from somewhere in Alaska. I hope everybody's having a phenomenal day out there. Spring is here, folks. I still maybe have a foot of snow at my house, but it is slowly melting. It's gone last week, came back, and man, I can see more of my grass, which is always a good time. For folks who listen and watch and read Must Read Alaska, we want to thank you. If you want to help keep the lights on, just go to mustreadalaska.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button. Every $5, $10, $100 helps keep the lights on here at Must Read Alaska. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com, and I would love to have you sponsor the show. We're coming close to 400 episodes of the Must Read Alaska show. On the 400th episode, Suzanne Downey is going to be joining me, and we're going to reminisce about our favorite episodes. Her and I have co-hosted many shows together. We've also had other hosts that have hosted shows, Scott Levesque, James Baisden. And so we're going to kind of reminisce about, man, 400 episodes, and I think over 4 years worth of time has been sunk into this. And I just want to thank everybody that listens to the show. It's we do this for you all. So we have a very special guest today, Jubilee Underwood, who is the president of the Mat-Su Borough School Board and is running for State House. We're very excited to have you on. Welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm super excited you're here. It's going to be fun to kind of unpack your story and hear what you're up to up in the valley. But you are the school board president, if I'm not mistaken, right, of the Mat-Su Borough School Board?
You are correct. I am.
Nice. So, luckily. So what first got you to run for school board? I know everybody's kind of got their story. What first led you to throw your name in the hat and run for school board?
Well, I never saw this happening, actually. I was just one of those parents during COVID who I am an avid basketball mom, well, sports mom. My son plays multiple sports, but especially basketball. And I did not want him wearing a mask during basketball. So that is what led me to my first school board meeting. I joke about it. I had my little paper written out and I was standing at the podium shaking like, I don't know what's going on here. I just, you know, never really got involved in that stuff because it never really touched my house. I never had to. So that was my first step. And then all of a sudden now I'm here. So, yeah.
So when you first ran, did you, how does the Mat-Su Borough do it? Do you have to run against different people in the district, or did you run unopposed? How was that first kind of election cycle for you?
Yeah, it was all new, whole new world. I did have an opponent. We both ran as conservatives. And so, it was interesting. It was fun. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. We did a lot of more online marketing that time and just talked with a ton of constituents. I had a army of basketball moms and dads behind me that were supporting me. They were like, just get in there and get these masks off our kids. So yeah, it was fun.
So you are now the school board president. How long have you been the president, and how did that come about, you know, from being just a member on the school board to then being the school board president of, I think it's the second largest school district in Alaska?
Yeah. So it's a 3-year term. So the first 2 years was a lot of observing, listening, and learning. Like I said, this was a whole new world. I didn't know how everything operated and how everything functioned. So especially that first year, it was a lot of just soaking in information, seeing how the operation even works. And then as time went on, I just got picked. They were like, you're it, you're next. And so I said, you know what? I'm up for the challenge. It's new. Same thing, just going in like not knowing what to expect, but I've actually really enjoyed it as well. So, yeah.
So how has it been, you know, hearing from parents? Cause I know that the Mat-Su Borough, tends to be a little more conservative. Right. And so, I think it's sometimes often hard for folks to, public schools and conservatives can kind of be oil and vinegar sometimes. How has that been being the person that probably a lot of people go to with their, complaints or their ups and downs of school? Have you enjoyed listening to parents show up and kind of testify at the school board meetings?
Yeah, you know what? I come from the idea that I was a mom that was frustrated. And what do you do when you're frustrated? You go yell at the school board. That's like the one thing that we think to do, right? Not knowing that over half of that board actually agreed with what I was saying, because it's not a question and answer time during that time. So, you know, learning that on the backside, I feel like regardless if people are for or against an issue, I really enjoy the public process for people coming up and speaking, whether they're furious and they think it's something that we're doing or not. It's like, you know what? I was once one of those parents. So listening to them, whether I agree or not, it's been enjoyable. Like, I don't mind it. I like applaud people that come and show up and get proactive regardless. What I've enjoyed is like, while learning the process, is being able to direct parents or, you know, just people in the community to the right channel. Cause a lot of times it's like the school board isn't necessarily the body that can fix every single issue, but being able to lead people and learn that process so that they can be effective is what I've really enjoyed.
So what are some of the things that you've been proud of, either of yourself or the school board, of kind of spearheading since you've been on the board?
Yeah. So in the first 2 months, I was the most proud that we got rid of masks and we got rid of all of our COVID mandates. You know, our school was the only district, our district was the only district during that time to stay open the entire time, which was wild as it is. So that was amazing. And the fact that we were able to get rid of the masks and the COVID mandates and let people choose if they wanted to or not want to, like, that was the main thing, is like, people, this is a free country. We should be able to choose. Right. And so that's what I was the most proud of. And that was within the first 2 months of getting elected. And then I was like, well, I did what I came for. Now we have 2.5 more years. So didn't foresee all the things that were coming down the pike, but I'm happy to be there. We've been able to be the only district that has protected girls in sports when they couldn't do it at a state level. We were able to bring it down to the local level and implement that into policy. We've just got our scores out. We're the highest testing score in the top 5 in the entire state. So, you know, the goal is to get to national standards and then beyond. Like, I feel like our kids are capable of blasting way past national averages. And I feel like we're doing that. I feel like we have a robust career and technical education program. Like, we are getting looked at from all over the state. We even have eyes on us from out of state for how we're doing it, for not just pushing the collegiate route. As you know, we need trades, we need electricians, we need welders, we need all of that. And to have kids be able to graduate with, say, 13 different recognized certificates in the trades, I feel like is awesome. Like, that is the direction that we should be going, as well as giving kids choice. Like, it's all about choice. I know I could probably keep talking and you might have more questions, but I am really proud that the Mat-Su Valley has so much choice. We've got brick and mortar, we have private, we have charter schools, and our charter schools are the number one in the nation, which just came out recently, which is great. Yeah, just parents and families being able to choose how they educate their kids is really important. So I am proud of that.
That's pretty awesome. So do you think there's also something to be said? I think, you know, a lot of school boards around the state are made up of folks who are retired, who don't have kids in the school district, not necessarily a bad thing, but do you think it's been helpful that you've had a kid either in or recently in the schools in which you are representing as a school board member?
Yeah, I just think that's really good for perspective. You know, I have a teenager who's graduating this year. And then I also have a first grader. And then I also have my nephew who's a second grader. So I have a broad range of both the elementary, the high school. So I feel like having my, it's just real life. It's real life in real time. And it's living and it's in my household. And I have a lot of friends my age that have kids. So it's relevant, is like, it's not something that's detached from me. So I feel like that's really important. We also have, this is probably the board that's had the most women on it too. We have other moms. We have a homeschool mom who's also very familiar with the medical side of the world and that perspective. We have a retired teacher who was in the Mat-Su for like 30 years who taught first grade. So we have some really awesome perspectives on the board. You know, I got another homeschool parent. We have, there's a lot of parents and grandparents on the board, on this board particularly. So it really helps.
That's awesome. So you recently threw your name in the hat to run for state house. What made you decide to kind of make that leap and run for office there?
Well, just jumping into this world, I just feel like I'm not a heavy on people being in certain seats for a really long time. I think it's great to have fresh perspective. I feel like on the school board, like I came in, I did what I originally set out to do and then some. And so I feel like, you know, I've had other people that I've come up behind that are passionate, that want to jump in. And I feel like, let's pass the baton. Let's do something where you have fresh eyes and fresh perspective. And so just looking at my district and just understanding more how local politics are actually so much more important than the national side when it comes to immediately touching your household. And I am extremely passionate about Alaska. I joke around. I'm like, I say that I'm probably one of the only friends in my circle that has never wanted to just get up and leave, even in the winter. It's like, there is something about Alaska that I believe in so deeply, about the destiny, about our resources, about what we can do as a state for not just the country, but for the world. Like, I have a big vision for Alaska. And so it's the same thing. It's like, I didn't understand how the school board worked. So instead of being a Facebook keyboard ninja warrior, I wanted to get involved so I could learn and then do some actual change. And so I feel like it's the same way on the state level. It's like, you hear so much complaining about like Juneau and the legislation and people are doing, and like, well, you know, knowing what I know now on this end, what you can, what you can't do, and getting that perspective, I feel like, well, if I don't understand the state level to the fullest degree that everybody does, I have passion, I have fresh eyes, I have a track record of getting things done. I would love to jump in and learn. It's like, I just don't want to talk from this end, not knowing. I want to get in and learn and then be effective like I've been here on the local level.
Nice. So what are some things, you know, let's say we're in December, you've won the election, it's January 1st, you head off to Juneau. What are some things that you would focus on as a state house person?
You know, taking what I do know here from the local level, which is education, it's like expanding on that, doing what we did here, protecting girls' sports, advocating for more of a robust career and technical side of things as well, school choice, parental rights, and implementing that at a state level. Like, we've done it really good here, but we're one of like 50 some other school districts in the state. So being able to help facilitate that on a state level, so other people in other parts of our state have those exact same opportunities, I love to see that happen. Obviously our PFD, that's a fight every single year for politics. I'm like, wouldn't that be great if somebody could go into an actual race and not have to even talk about our PFD because it's set in state statute and it's followed the way that it's supposed to be followed. So it's a talking point you don't have to run on. That would be great. So fixing that, you know, our state, like, we have so much land here, like returning a lot of our state lands that is locked up and returning it back to local control would be amazing. I so believe that we have so much resources here. We could talk about it forever and like what we're supposed to do. So again, learning how I can even do that is part of the thing, building relationships with people. In order to get stuff done, you have to be able to work with other people. You have to be able to have a relationship. You have to be able to have people want to be on your side to get these things done, to implement them for the betterment of the people of Alaska. So building relationship first thing, and just going to work and learning. So, yeah.
So what do you think some of the secret sauce is to this thing in particular, which I'm going to kind of explain how I see it is, you know, a lot of times, I have three kids in public schools. Our school out here in Nikiski has been awesome. Great teachers, great principal. We have an awesome superintendent. Not every school district is blessed with that success. But you all have seemed to figure out a way to have the schools have a good relationship, a decent relationship, at least with conservative parents. I think that's a very hard thing for other school districts, not only in Alaska, but just around the US to do. What do you attribute some of that success to be? Because I think that's very unique to have conservatives not only not talk bad about a school district, but talk good about a school district. And you've been able to achieve that in the MATSU. What do you think some of that secret sauce is?
You know, well, the MATSU is heavily conservative. So I feel like having governmental bodies that represent the majority makeup of where you live is also, it's important. And so you guys can work together and get things done, but it's listening, it's building relationship, it's knowing who hired you. It's like, schools wouldn't exist without kids. kids wouldn't exist without their parents, you know, and we have taxpayers and community members. So it's when these hot topic issues come up, it's being open and willing to listen to what is the majority of the people that you're actually serving, that you were elected to serve. You're not elected to control and just make every decision. You're elected to serve and represent their voice. Like, what are they saying? So it's really important that you listen first and that you take in what they're saying and figure out a way to work together with people to implement that and to expand it and to make things better and make the systems better. Yeah. It's a big ask because it's like turning the wheel of a ship. It's like one little crank at a time. I'm like, man, if there was an easy button that you could just fix all of government, fix every system, the medical system, the judiciary system, everything in one big smackdown, that would be great. But it doesn't work that way. So it's just one decision, one one-on-one conversation with a parent, a grandparent at a time, and then going to work and doing something about it. That's in your capacity to do. Yeah.
So what's some advice you'd give to folks that maybe want to run for school board or want to run for assembly or do those kinds of things or serve on a service area board, right? Still got to throw your name in the hat for a lot of those service area boards around the state. What's some advice you'd give to folks who, you know, I think folks are busy, right? They're hockey moms and hockey dads and two jobs and, you know, kids, and things can get busy with sports and all those things. And what's some advice you give to folks who maybe want to serve and maybe think, I don't have enough time or blah, blah, you know, there's every reason in the book, but you figure out a way to make it work. What's some advice you give to people?
I just feel like if I can do it, literally anybody could do it. Like sports mom, I do real estate as well. Like my life is crazy on all fronts, but there's always time for what's important. And I feel like don't wait until you think you know it all, or that you just think like you have to go through this checkpoint and this checkpoint and this checkpoint before you can do something, because by then it's almost like it's too late. Like my goal was like, hey, if I can do this, and I knew nothing about how all this stuff operated and look what can get done. Like you can too. If you have common sense, you have passion, you love where you live, you love your family, you love your community, you are capable of doing anything. I mean, you can look at it on our national level, our elected officials. If they can do what they're doing in their seats, my goodness, anybody can do anything. That's what I feel like. So my biggest encouragement would be don't wait to get involved. And if you don't know how to start, you can ask me. There's like an army of people that are ready. You don't have to even be in a seat to affect change. Like you can support people, you can be boots on the ground. There's just so much that people can do. I just feel like it can be overwhelming, especially if it's a world that you don't understand and you don't know. But my biggest encouragement would be just don't wait. You don't have to have every credential. You just got to have common sense and passion. And you can do a lot of things. Yeah.
So you kind of touched on this subject a little bit of fresh perspective and you not necessarily wanting to be a career politician in one seat for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's some advantage to not having somebody in the same seat for even 10 years? That seems like that's five election cycles for a House person.
Yeah.
What's some of those positive advantages that you've seen, take place from folks that have ran and not been that career politician type?
I feel like in any type of job or any type of position that you're there for too long, sometimes you can just get jaded. In certain areas, you can get so familiar with how things work that you can sometimes just skate by, and then how relevant it is to your life can sometimes get a little bit detached. I feel like having fresh perspective, fresh people in seats, it brings just that. It's new perspective. It's, hey, this is what's actually affecting my house, my community, my neighbors. It's just, there's a little bit more of an attachment to reality. Sometimes I feel like if you're out on an island for too long doing the same things, you can just get a little bit detached sometimes. So I feel like it's really important. I mean, there's a lot of amazing people out there that have great ideas, and not one person has to do it all the time. Like God's given everybody lots of gifts. And I just feel like it's fair to have different people get in and get a chance to try their hand at it. Yeah.
So who's been somebody that you've looked up to? You know, I think a lot of folks look up to you, whether you want to think about it that way or not, but you're the president of the second largest school district in the state of Alaska. That's a big job. You've been very successful at it, you and the school board. Kudos to you.
You.
There's lots of people that look up to you. Who's somebody that's you've looked up to that's kind of been a hero to you, and why?
You know, to me, you know, my dad passed away 3 years ago, and that was my hero. And that is what sparked me to even continue doing this. Like, he passed away during COVID times, during all those crazy medical things that were going on. And that's a whole nother story for another time, which also sparked the passion and the fire inside me of injustice and wanting to not sit back and do things. And I think through his passing, it was literally April 3 years ago, and I declared that summer, and I struggled, like, you know, I'm going through deep grief. Is this something that I want to do? And just like, I felt like he was like, you got to go, you got to do this. It's tomorrow is not promised. And so he was a very much not politically correct, but very much into like, you do the right thing, you stand up for it. Who cares what people think? That was the attitude that he always had, was like, who cares? Is it right? Is it just? Then stand up and do something. And so I want to leave a legacy like he left to me. And so that is who I think about 24/7 all the time. It's just like, do it for dad, basically. Like, he did it. Tomorrow's not promised. The hole he left in my heart, like, but has inspired me to do what I'm doing. That's what I want to leave for other people, is like, just do it like she did. Just, you don't have to be perfect. You just got to have passion. But yeah, it would be my dad.
That's awesome. So for folks listening in that maybe want to hear more about your campaign, or, you know, get involved or whatever, tell folks where they can find you, website, social media, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. My website is jubileeforstatehouse.com, and Alaskans for Jubilee is my Facebook. You can find me on both. I'm pretty active on both of there. I have everything wide open, my personal social media, whatnot. You can see my life, see how I live. You can come and find me there. There's places on the website to donate. There's places to say that you want to help when it comes to door knocking, boots on the ground, making phone calls. Yeah, I'd appreciate it. I really want District 27 to have a seat at the table for our state. We have a voice. We are doing great things out in this valley, and it's time to take it locally to a state level, because I believe this is the direction the whole state should be going.
Nice. What about school board wise? If there's parents listening in from the valley and they have school, you know, board type questions, where can they find that kind of information and get a hold of you?
If you go to Oh, don't quote me on the website. I think it's K-12. Just Google it. It gets you to the main school district website. And there's a tab at the top that says school board. It has each of our emails listed there individual. I think my phone number's on there. I do real estate. So my phone number is my phone number.
Your phone number is everywhere.
It's everywhere. There's no hiding it. I don't have a second phone number. So I get phone calls all the time. I have other board members that have been like, I rarely get calls. I get calls all the time, but my stuff's out there. So yes, you can contact me through any channel, and I'm happy to have a conversation.
Nice. Well, 25 minutes has gone by in a flash here. Any last minute thoughts, Jubilee, before we head off?
No, I mean, appreciate you having me on here tonight. Hopefully people see that, you know, if we could just take the politicians out of politics, it would be great, and just put regular folks in the seats that know what it's like. I'm born, I'm raised here. I love Alaska. I just want what's best for not just my family and my kids, but for your family and your kids, for the generations to come. So yeah, I'd love your support. You come on out and contact me and let's talk.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jubilee, here on the Must Read Alaska Show. For folks listening in, if you just got the tail end, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the whole thing. Hear a great story about how she threw her name in the hat and became the school board president, is now running for state house. We'll put all the links in the description so folks can easily find her website, and parents in the valley, if you want to get a hold of the school board, we'll put a link in there for the school board as well. But for folks that listen, watch, and read Must Read Alaska, if you want to help keep the lights on, just go to mustreadalaska.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button. Every $100 helps keep, or $5 or $10 helps keep the lights on here at Must Read Alaska. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. And I want to thank everybody that does listen. We're almost on our 400th episode. And like I said, on the very front end, we're going to do a special 400th episode. Suzanne Downing is going to come and join me, and we're going to reminisce about some of our favorite times here on the Must Read Alaska show. And thanks everybody for helping, for making this show the number one podcast or news show in Alaska. That's pretty awesome. I pinch myself every time I think about that. I hope everybody has a phenomenal rest of their week. And until next time, I'm John Quick from somewhere in Alaska. Thanks so much, Jubilee, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.